Good morning, South Belt Church. Thank you for joining us via YouTube and the streaming services that are available. This morning I want to begin a new series on boundaries. It seems like our life is increasingly filled with them, but they're not new. They've always been a part of our spiritual journey in particular. But there seem to be new boundaries in our life. Footprints on the ground at the pharmacy, red lines at the grocery store, blue boxes at other places where we have to be 6 feet apart. We have new boundaries. Our checkout clerks now stand behind surrounding sneeze guards. New boundaries. No hugging. Some of you, that's difficult. New boundaries. No gathering. For the church, that is difficult. Church, by definition, is gathering. And however you feel about the new boundaries that culture has set up for us or not, boundaries aren't new. We've always had boundaries in our life. Speed limit is a boundary, though most of you don't follow that. Seat belts are a boundary. Most of us do follow that. I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine from the Navy, and he was telling me about submarines. They have a maximum depth that they're allowed to go, and that sets a boundary. Airplane pilots and particular types of aircraft have a maximum altitude that they're allowed to go, that sets a boundary. Interesting thing about boundaries is that boundaries are always set in the confines of a zone that is safe. Boundaries are always set in a safety zone, particularly spiritual boundaries. And they're always set so that we can have life abundant. Spiritual boundaries are set so that we may have life abundant, something that Jesus spoke of, and the boundaries that are set for us help us have that abundant life. There are boundaries, and there should be boundaries set in our lives so that we can keep moving forward, keep walking forward on the journey in the way of God and the path that His life is established for us. Boundaries are like the kiddie bumpers at the bowling alley. When those boundaries are put up at the bowling alley, those bumpers keep us out of the gutter. Spiritual boundaries in our life are there to keep us out of the gutter of life. I can guarantee you that the hardest lessons you will ever learn in your life will come when you cross the boundaries that are set up for you, or when you don't put in place boundaries that wisdom would dictate should be set for you. So many of the people around us are struggling financially because they live paycheck to paycheck. They have never set up financial boundaries for savings. So many people we know are hurting relationally, and they move from one bad relationship to another bad relationship because they have not set up boundaries concerning relationship standards. So many people we know, and maybe you this morning, are struggling spiritually. God seems absent to you because you have ignored the boundaries of discipleship that are required. Boundaries are fixed. And they're fixed, like I said, within the safety zone to keep you in bounds on your walk of life, on the journey that God has planned for you. Let me draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." What empty words? The empty words of foolishness, the empty words of a boundaryless life. Verse 7, "Therefore, do not become partners with them." Stay away from those who live boundaryless lives. Verse 8, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Paul is telling the church at Ephesus that boundaries are necessary and boundaries are wise. We shouldn't run from boundaries because boundaries are wise. It is the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom that you have because of your relationship with God that would allow you to set up boundaries in a safe zone that would keep you on this walk of life. So as you walk as children of light, walk within the boundaries. The word walk here is an interesting word in the Greek. It is the word peripateho. And the word peripateho has to do with staying on the path, but being respectful of the path. Making sure that you know not only what is ahead of you, but that you're aware of what's beside you on either side and what's behind you. You have a general alertness about your surroundings. And so when Paul tells the church to walk as children of light, he's telling them to be aware of the surroundings in which they live. And then stay the course, there have to be boundaries. Jesus told his disciples to be shrewd as serpents and gentle as doves. Later in that passage in Ephesians, scoot down a few verses to verse 5. Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. It is wise to follow the thou shalt nots in the Scripture. Unfortunately, we spend so much time talking about the thou shalt nots that we miss the fact that the Bible is full of so many more thou shalls. The Bible is full of boundaries for your life and for mine. And so if we spend our time doing not only the thou shalt nots, but if we spend our time doing the thou shalls, love our neighbor, love our wife like Christ loves the church, be respectful of our husbands, don't bring your children to exasperation, manage your finances well, do not get drunk with wine. If we manage the boundaries that are set up by the Scripture, we can walk this life abundant. We can walk as children of light. Boundaries are necessary. Within the context of my home, I've shared this story with you before. I married a precious woman, and that precious woman is a boundary believer. She believes in the boundaries. Unfortunately, I'm a boundary pusher, but there's a balance there that we've struck in our home, and my children always thought I was the fun parent because I pushed the boundaries, and they always referred to their mom as the fun sucker because she didn't let us push the boundaries. Now keep in mind, boundaries are there always placed in the safety zone. They're there for our well-being. And sometimes following the boundaries is not always fun, but following the boundaries is always wise. The Scripture tells us that when we need wisdom, we should ask. When we're unsure about the boundaries, when we're not quite convinced that the boundaries are good, or that the boundaries are necessary, or that there even needs to be boundaries, the Scripture says we should ask. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Wisdom is a gift received by asking in faith. It's not reserved for the hyper-spiritual. It's not reserved for the super-educated. Wisdom is simply a gift from God. And it is yours, and it is available for the asking. I believe one of the best things we can do is talk to God regularly about the boundaries He wants in place for our life. If your spiritual measurement for your actions and attitudes and motivation for life is boiled down to the simple question of, well, is this action or is this thought or is this activity or is this attitude sinful? I think we're missing the possibilities of so very much. A shallow form of Christianity would ask that question and that question alone. Well, is it sin? If it is, then I won't commit it. But if it's not, I'll live it to the fullest. And while is it sin is a good question to ask, a better question that should be asked is it wise? to the church at Corinth, Paul writes these things. Everything is permissible for me, he says, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Just because I can doesn't always mean that I should. We need wisdom to help us live by more than is it sin mentality. We should be worried, not worried, but we should stay away from things that are sinful. But we should also stay away from actions and attitudes that aren't wise. The boundary of wisdom is set in the parameters of safety to keep us on that walk so that we may walk as children of light. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through 10, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and what is just and fair and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." The boundary of wisdom is necessary. And you and I need to do a much better job in seeking his interaction and ask him the question, "Lord, is this wise?" There's a second reason boundaries are important, and that's because boundaries guide us when culture confuses us. And culture confuses us more than not. I grew up in Louisiana. It's not the official state motto, but it should be. People all over the state know the phrase, "Laissez le bon temps rouler." It simply means let the good times roll. Is it sin? Probably. Is it wise? Probably not. Boundaries guide us when culture confuses us. Just because culture says you got to go for the gusto, you got to grab life by the horns, you got to find your own happiness, and it comes by doing whatever it is that brings you pleasure, is the message of culture. But spiritual boundaries in particular are there to keep us out of the fray of culture, and it's going to isolate you, I'll be honest. It's going to set you aside from other people. You will be labeled the fun sucker if you follow the boundaries of the gospel and follow the boundaries of spirituality and follow the boundaries of discipleship so that you may walk as a child of light. Ephesians chapter 5, again, verses 15 through 17. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." Some translations say redeeming the time. I love that phrase. "Because the days are evil, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The Lord's will is boundaries. Because boundaries are always placed in the safety zone to protect, to help keep you on the path mentioned in Proverbs chapter 2, so that you may walk the walk of life, and be children of the light. Make the most of your time walking in the boundaries God has designated in order to maximize the life that Christ has given you. In this day, in this moment, in this time of increased boundaries, the church of Jesus Christ should shine bright. We should not walk in fear. We should walk in light. We should not walk in anxiety. We should walk in light. We should not walk in frustration with political leaders. Would you want that job? This is the ultimate no-win scenario for a leader in this particular time. We need to make the most of the time that we have, because this is a great opportunity for the church to shine. This is a great opportunity for you to shine. This is a great opportunity for you to be the light to those that are around you that are in panic up to their belly buttons. Culture says you need to freak out and you need to live in fear. The gospel says you need to trust the Lord and believe with your heart that He has got everything under control. The boundaries of the gospel protect us from the influences of the culture, and they allow us to maximize our time. I have a friend named Bob McCartney. He's pastor at a church here in Texas, and he tells a story of one of his favorite childhood idols. And the first time I heard him tell this, I laughed at him. But he tells a story about when he was younger, he idolized David Cassidy. My initial reaction to that was I thought only little girls did that. He didn't think that was funny. But he idolized David Cassidy. He liked him because of his talent as a singer, as an actor, as a pop icon, as a teen heartthrob. But if you knew about David Cassidy and you watched his life unfold in the public eye, what you didn't realize is that behind the scenes, his life was a train wreck. Several failed relationships, at least two failed marriages, several addiction cycles where he spent time in rehab. And he had what you and I might consider a very blessed life because he had fame and fortune and prestige and popularity. But he was miserable. He was miserable to the point that he was estranged from his daughter Katie for years and years and years. But as he aged and as his health began to fail, he began to realize that his life wasn't what it needed to be. He reconciled with his daughter Katie, and she was actually with him when he died. And as she emerged from the room where he breathed his last, she came out and she shared with the family and friends that were there that David Cassidy's last words were haunting at best. His last words were, "So much wasted time." He lived his life outside the boundaries that are set up inside the safety zone so that we can be and maximize who God would have us be in our lives. He lived according to the confusing guidelines of culture. And in the end, he regretted the fact that he did not redeem the time. Again, Proverbs chapter 2, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men will turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They will take pleasure in doing wrong. They will enjoy twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. The scripture over and over and over tells us that we need to have wise boundaries from the gospel, wise boundaries from the scripture, wise boundaries that we self-impose on our own life to stay the path, to walk as children of the light. To not follow those boundaries can bring us to peril. A couple of summers ago, Debbie and I were in Fall Creek Falls State Park in Tennessee. The main attraction of the state park is Fall Creek Falls. It's a waterfall that's one of the highest in the United States, some 256 feet from the lip to the pool at the bottom. You can actually hike the trail to get down to the bottom of the falls. Now, the descent is 256 feet, but that 256 feet takes place in about a third of a mile on a very steep, rugged, in my opinion, unsafe trail. Debbie and I decided we'd try to walk it. I got about 70 or 80 feet down the trail, and I looked at Debbie, and I'm like, There's no way. Even if I do get down, they're going to have to bring in a helicopter with a winch to get me out because I can't get out of here. And so we decided to turn around and go back up to the top. As we decided to turn around and go back up to the top, there was a group of people of 10 or 12 who were beginning to make their way down. Now, the park has set up boundaries for making this hike. Along the path, there is a little stone wall about that high in some places. They have signs asking you not to step on or over that stone wall. They have boundaries suggesting that you wear good hiking shoes to get down there. They ask you to bring water for hydration. They ask you to let somebody know that you're going down so that if you don't come back up, they can go looking for you. The park sets up boundaries for a safe trek to the bottom and a safe climb back out. As we were coming out and this group walked by us, we noticed they hadn't paid attention to the boundaries. They had no water. They all had on flip-flops. One of them had an infant child in one of those front carriers. And the kids were running and hopping and leaping over the logs and the boulders going down this trail way ahead of the parents. Well, since we weren't going to make the hike, we made our way out and drove to get a bite to eat for dinner. And on our way back, we were passed by a park ranger and a police officer and an ambulance. Debbie and I both commented, well, that doesn't look good. The next morning at breakfast, while we were talking to one of the park staff, we asked them about the emergency in the park that night. And they told us that there was a group of about 10 or 12 that started making their way down the path with improper shoes, and they weren't keeping their eye on children. And a little 10-year-old girl got up on that boundary rail and fell to her death. You see, boundaries are set up for your safety. Your heavenly Father is not a fun sucker. The boundaries that exist in His Word, the boundaries that He would ask you to self-impose on your own life about what you should look at on the computer screen, or about what you should put in your body, or about the amount of alcohol that you should consume, or about the places that you should go, or about the attitudes that you should have, are not there to rob you of the joy of life. They are there to give you the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, to help you stay on the path so that you can walk as a child of the light of God. So my prayer and my plea for you today would be, live in such a way that you make the most of the time you have in this life. Boundaries are wise, and the wisdom of boundaries are always placed in the safety zone to make sure you can get through this life and get the most out of the life God has planned for you. Don't be afraid of the new boundaries. Don't be afraid of the old boundaries. Embrace them. Stay safe. Stay well. Stay the path. Because those boundaries are there to keep you out of the gutter of life and on the path to walk as children of light. Pray with me. Father, we come to you in this moment to say thank you for the boundaries that you've given us in your word, for the boundaries that you have given us the free will to self-impose. Father, we would ask that we would, through wisdom, do this well. And that we would come to a place in our life today where we would not just ask the question, well, is my behavior sinful? But we would ask, is my behavior wise? Or is my attitude wise? Help us to live within the boundaries of protection. We thank you that they're there. We thank you that they exist always in the safety zone to lead your flock and to lead your people well. In Jesus' name, amen.